This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Friday, June 7th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Ross reacts to ag commissioners. Recharge evolves, but more needed. House Ag GOP, where are the Dems? Ross reacts to fallout with ag commissioners. The AgriPulse West team is still unpacking all the action that took place at our annual summit earlier this week. Our discussion with CDFA Secretary Karen Ross spanned a range of emerging issues and touched on a situation that has gained considerable attention among readers. Last month, the California Agriculture Commissioners and Sealers Association shared with AgriPulse West deep concerns over its rocky relationship with the Department of Pesticide Regulation. Families sometimes need counseling, said Ross at the summit. The one thing I wish hadn't happened is that it played out in publication. Ross stressed that commissioners, quote, are absolutely essential for regulatory enforcement and for pest eradication efforts. She worried about communication issues and feelings, quote, that priorities aren't exactly aligned. The secretary shared her disappointment over disagreements with timelines and expectations concerning DPR's environmental justice initiatives. She described the ramp up in local EJ engagement as, quote, the only way we can succeed in doing business in the state. Ross pledged the administration would work with commissioners, quote, to make sure that this is not only a functional relationship, but a good one, with alignment of priorities and our approaches for how to accomplish them. PPIC survey depicts an evolution in groundwater recharge. The Water Policy Center at the Public Policy Institute of California has released new findings from an in-depth survey of recharge efforts during one of the state's wettest years. The researchers estimated the total amount of recharged in 2023 added up to 5.3 million acre feet, reflecting a 17% jump since they last surveyed water managers in 2017. They saw growth in on-farm recharge, though it still accounts for less than 10% of the overall volume. Local and state policies earned credit for bolstering recharge efforts as well. The report lists several recommendations to scale up the projects further, such as clarifying when and how much can be diverted and to consider downstream impacts. The center will host a discussion on Tuesday to present the report and discuss the trends with John Ryder of McConnell Farms and other experts. Reclamation announces $700 million for Colorado River. The Bureau of Reclamation yesterday announced it will provide another $700 million for water conservation projects in Arizona, Nevada, and California. The projects, which Reclamation estimates could save more than 700,000 acre feet of water in Lake Mead, include water distribution structures, advanced metering infrastructure, farm efficiency improvements, canal lining, turf removal, groundwater banking, desalinization, recycling water, and water purification. The funding represents, quote, bucket two projects in the Lower Colorado Basin System Conservation and Efficiency Program. The agency previously agreed to pay Lower Colorado River water users around $651 million in the program's first round of agreements, according to agency data. The agreements are the result of $4 billion in Inflation Reduction Act funding. It's designed to bolster water-saving efforts in the Colorado River Basin and other regions suffering from the impact of long-term drought. The aim is to hold together water conservation efforts in the basin until the end of 2026, when current water guidelines will expire and state water officials will need to propose new framework for distributing water cuts in times of drought. You can read our full report at AgriPulse.com. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Reports tie foreign produce imports to high labor costs. The high cost and lack of availability of agriculture labor have led to greater reliance on foreign fruit and vegetable imports, according to reports previewed for news media by the International Fresh Produce Association. The studies focused on key challenges facing the U.S. produce industry, including a decline in domestic production and a growing reliance on foreign imports. These trends are caused in part by a lack of replacement workers, lower foreign labor costs, and reduced foreign standards. John Halley, IFPA's director on workforce and labor policy, told reporters yesterday. The reports found that the average farmer is unable to access 21% of their necessary workforce. Additionally, reliance on the H-2A visa program has increased by 300% since 2012. It now represents 10-15% of all agricultural labor jobs. Farm wages have also grown by over 20% due to increases in the adverse effect wage rate, which sets the minimum hourly wage employers must pay H-2A workers. House Ag GOP. Democrats aren't reaching out on the farm bill. House Ag Committee Chairman Glenn Thompson is renewing his pitch to Democrats to talk to him about the farm bill. 2 weeks ago, the bipartisan 2024 farm bill passed out of committee. While many praised the policy, some took issue with paying for the bill, the committee's GOP staff said at a web post yesterday. The chairman's door remains open, though none of our Democratic colleagues on either side of the Capitol have come knocking. Committee Democrat Johanna Hayes of Connecticut did respond with a tweet challenging the way he paid for the bill. Quote, "The farm bill needs some work," she said. Senate Ag Subcommittee plans field hearing on drought. Senators will convene in the High Plains region later this month to hear from Kansas and Colorado farmers about the impacts of drought and water access. The Senate Ag Subcommittee on Conservation, Climate, Forestry, and Natural Resources will hold its first field hearing in Burlington, Colorado, June 26th. The hearing, led by Subcommittee Chairman Michael Bennett of Colorado and Ranking Member Roger Marshall of Kansas, will examine federal drought tools and explore potential new opportunities to address the lack of moisture in the region. Close race is only safe prediction when it comes to Biden versus Trump, panelists say. Polls are suspect, voters are not energized, and the race between Donald Trump and Joe Biden is too close to call. That the results of a panel of election experts yesterday at a Rural Progress Summit put on by former Democratic Senator Heidi Heitkamp's One Country Project. We don't know where this stands, other than it's going to be a close race, which I think is the safest thing to predict, said Tom Bonnier of Target Smart. They provide political data for campaigns and advocacy organizations. Bonnier, a prominent anti-Trump writer, Tim Miller of The Bulwark, and Heitkamp all agreed there's little enthusiasm among voters for either Trump or Biden. People don't feel super fired up about these candidates, Bonnier said. Heitkamp noted she and others in red areas are not seeing nearly as many Trump signs or MAGA hats as they have in the past. Here's today's She Said It. There is a tremendous need to provide California's farm workers more opportunities that improve their housing conditions. That CDFA Secretary Karen Ross joined housing officials on a tour of farm worker facilities yesterday. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Friday, June 7th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Alley.